Today, we are talking about seeds. Everybody say seeds?
Seeds.
And soil. Everybody say soil. Seeds and soil. Over the past weeks, we've begun a series on being deeply rooted. Rooted. We have been talking about how important it is for us to not live shallow lives, but to actually put our roots down deep into the things of the Lord, into who he is, into his word, what he has spoken to us. And I've been thinking about how incredible seeds are. In fact, before you leave this morning, every family is going to get a very special seed to take home with you. And there's going to be some instructions and something. We're going to give every family a cool seed. But you know what? The seeds are amazing. Some seeds are really, really tiny. Some are a little bit bigger. But listen, you know, I mean, a seed can sit there for 100 years and just sit there with all of the potential that God put in it. All the potential within that seed is kind of like locked up within that little thing that kind of just looks like a little rock, little pebble. But inside of there is life and the potential for great life. But guess what? It needs to be released. That releasing of life, you know what that's called? What happens to a seed? Can somebody tell me what happens to a seed? I want to see if somebody under 13 years old can tell me what happens. What's it called when a seed like, it like springs to life? What's it called? Okay, I'm hearing, but that voice was not from someone under 13. Tim. It's like, yeah, it sends up shoots. What? Germinates. That's an amazing word. Wow. Seeds do something called germinate. And when they germinate, it's when the life that God put in the seed all of a sudden bursts forth and it sends out shoots and roots. I don't know if you've ever seen that happen, but Menyo, I think we've got a little video that shows exactly what that looks like in fast motion. I think it's kind of creepy what it looks like, but it's really, really cool. So roll that little video. Go ahead, put it up there. That is a corn seed. What? Ah! Man, it looks like this alien foreign creature. Oh, there's the shoots and roots. That is a corn seed. Whoa. Is that amazing? I mean, it looks like this alien life form. But can you imagine that that very activity is happening billions and billions of times right now all around the world? Every plant, every tree, every blade of grass, all everything that grows from a seed all around the world, from the biggest tree down to the smallest little plant, that is the very activity that is happening. And God formed it this way, where he put life inside the seed with the intent that it would germinate and that shoots and roots would be produced. Seeds and soil. I'm going to ask two of my good friends, Luke and Vivian, to come up here, and they're going to help with a scripture. Vivian for you, Luke for you. And Menyo, you're going to scroll through the passage as they read from Matthew chapter 13. It's verses 3 through 9 and 18 through 23. And Vivian and Luke, if you'd go ahead and lead us in the word.
Jesus told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one.
Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across the field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them.
Other seeds fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died.
Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times more as had been planted.
Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts.
The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word.
The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly. The message is crowded out by the worries of life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced.
The seed that fell on the good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and represent a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times more as had been planted.
Awesome. Hey, would you give it up to these guys? Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. This is the passage that we've been in over the last weeks and that we're going to be continuing to look at even in more detail next week. How many types of soil are described in that passage? Can anybody under 13, Jerry Miller, how many types of soil were talked about in that passage? Anybody? Any of the kids catch on? Well, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to show a tiny little video, and this time you better count. Okay, this is going to show our kids and those young at heart what this parable that Jesus told, this story, what it looked like. Go ahead and roll it, Manuel. Yeah, and there we have it. So I want to know from our kids, how many types of soil, how many types of dirt were there in that story?
Dave?
four types of dirt. And God says that kind of our lives are much like those four kinds of dirt. And man, you go ahead and put the next slide up there. Four kinds of dirt. First, there was that hard soil. And it's like that path, it says. Jesus said, like when the seed went out on the path, it couldn't even penetrate. The seed couldn't get into the dirt. And so the seed just sits there on top. Those sort of seeds, it says, there's never that germination. They don't spring to life. All the life inside of it never bursts forth like God had intended. And so birds come along, boop, they eat them, they get a meal, but yeah, the life in that seed never comes forth. The second type of dirt, what type is that? The rocky soil, the rocky dirt. There's rocks underneath, and so what happens when that plant tries to put roots down? What happens? They get stuck. The roots cannot go down deep, and so what happens is there's quick life, boop, but it is short life. It's a little life. Everybody say little life. It's a little life where it's just too short. It never gets to be fruitful. It dies real quick. As the sun comes up, the weather comes in, the plant can't survive. Then there is a third type. What type of soil is that? Weedy. So not only does soil sometimes have rocks in it where the roots can't go down, but then there's also the weedy soil. And that's other kinds of problems, Jesus said, in people's lives where the roots, they try to go down, but the weeds are choking the life right out of the plant. So the healthy plant can't survive to become fruitful. And then there's a fourth type of soil. Fourth type of dirt. It's the what? It's the good. Who wants to be good dirt? Come on. Who wants to be good soil? Listen, this is the whole intent of what Jesus was sharing here, is that there's different kinds of soil that represent our lives. How many types of that soil, okay, kids, how many types of that soil did the seed germinate and that there was actually something that popped up and that was pretty? How many types of soil? Yes, three. Three types of soil, was there some sort of germination and life? Okay, those three were the rocky soil, the weedy soil, and the good soil. But I want to tell you something about those different sorts of soil. God's intent and his plan for us is that we would be that good soil that puts down deep roots and lots of fruit in our lives. I want to tell you, God has not intended that our lives would be little, little lives. Little lives are ones that are very short-lived. God wants us to be around for the long haul. He wants us to be able to put down deep roots so that when challenges come, when persecution comes, when our lives face difficulties, whether it's through sickness or through relationships that we're struggling in, that we wouldn't somehow have this short little life with Christ, but that our roots would be so far down into the soil of God and his word, that man, we would find that we're able to drink forth life and be sustained even during challenging and difficult times. God never intended for us to have a little life. And some of us, when we look at our lives, we would say, you know what, I've gone through times like that. I've gone through times where my life seemed to be like on a roller coaster. And down in those bottom times, kind of like where I would walk away from the things that I knew were true because I didn't have the resources, I didn't have the spiritual strength to maintain even when times were tough. And kids, I know if you talk to your moms and dads, that they could probably describe some times in their own life that felt that way. But God never intended that we would have a little life. In fact, there's a scripture here that I want to show you. It's from Hebrews 3:14. And Manuel, if you go ahead and put that up. Hebrews 3:14 says this, "For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ." You know, listen to what it says. If we are faithful to the end. In other words, God wants us to have a long life with him. Not a little life, but a long life with him. And that's only possible if we're in that good soil. But listen, not only does he want us to not have a little life, he doesn't want us to just have what I would call a leafy life. Everybody say leafy life. See, a leafy life is one where there's like little leaves, there's shoots that have come out, but there's no root. Shoots, no root, no fruit. A leafy life. Can I tell you something? God does not want us to be pretty Christians. He has not created us to be ornamental plants. He has called us to be fruitful plants. He has caused us to take that seed, which we're going to talk a little bit more in a moment about what that seed represents, but to take the seed of his word and for it to grow so much in us that it produces this fruit for others. If you see someone's life and you say, wow, they kind of from a distance look like maybe they're alive and there's like leaves and stuff, but you get closer and there's no fruit that's coming out of their life. You say, okay, that's a leafy life, but that's not one that Jesus had intended the kind of life for us. And there's a scripture that tells us that very thing. It's when Jesus was talking about the vine and the branches in John chapter 15. And go ahead and put that scripture up. John 15, verses 1 and 2. Jesus is saying this, and he says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener." What does he say the gardener does? "He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more." We see a couple of things in there. One is that we all experience pruning in our lives. If we're not fruitful, if we just have a leafy life as a Christian, whoa. God is not pleased with that because that's not what he created us for. He didn't create us to be this little ornamental, pretty plant. He created us to be fruitful. So what we see is that all of us go through the pruning process of God in our life. But I'll tell you what, I want to be pruned because I am fruitful. So God will prune my life to create more fruit. In fact, if we were to keep on reading in John 15, it says that God is glorified, listen, when we bear much fruit. How many of you want to be a much fruit person? Like to have so much fruit that not only are you being resourced and fed off of that from what's being developed and growing in your life, but you're able to bless and resource others as well. That other people start coming to you and saying, man, I want to eat from what you have in your life. I can be resourced as well because of what God is producing in you. God has created us with the potential for much fruit in our lives. But it's the last kind of dirt. It's the good soil that is the fruitful soil. And that's the goal. And for us to be that person who has much fruit in our life, we need to have deep, deep roots. This is about discipleship. Last week we said this, that every disciple is a Christian, but not every Christian is a disciple. See, disciples are the ones that have learned to cultivate the soil of their life for it to be the good soil, good dirt. We become that good dirt that then allows for that seed of God's word to come in and for it to grow really strong and fruitful lives. And so I want you to grab that handout that you have, and we're going to take the next few minutes and we're going to look at those three areas about how do we grow as disciples. I believe that there are three things that are occurring within the life of disciples. These are people who are growing more and more like Jesus with that good dirt, that good soil in their lives. And there's three things in particular that are happening within the lives of every disciple. Now, moms and dads that have been around for a while with Santa Maria Foursquare, this is gonna be a reminder to you, and we're gonna go a little deeper than we have before in this conversation. But because these are three words that we are using consistently at Santa Maria Foursquare to talk about discipleship, growing more and more like Jesus. And so these will be a reminder, but for some of you, this is the first time you may be hearing these three words. They all begin with the letter D, like disciple, okay? The first word is discover. Disciples discover. Would you say that with me? Disciples discover. What does that mean? It's right there on your sheet. What is discovery? It is making fresh insights into who God is, what he has said, and who he has made me to be. I believe that those three things are essential discoveries in the life of a disciple. I need to discover who God is. All that he has said, and we get that from the Bible, we get that from his word, and then we get reminded of that by his Holy Spirit that he's given us. But not only do I need to know who God is and what he has said, I also need to know, who am I in this story? In Ephesians chapter 2, God's word tells us that he's actually created me for good works, meaning that he has a mission for me. Like that potential that's in the seed, like God formed the grass seed to do grassy things, apple seeds to do apple-y things, avocado seeds, they're the real big ones, to do avocado-y things. But Ezra, God has inside of you things for you to do Ezra-y kind of things. John, God's called you to do Johnny kind of things. Veronica-y thing kind of things, right? He's created each one of us with our unique potential and gifting and the special things that he has woven into each one of us. So we need to discover who God is. We need to discover what has he said, and we need to discover, where am I in that story? God, how have you created me to be part of your mission? And can I tell you, these three things all continue going. In other words, I've been walking with Jesus a long time, right? Decades. But can I tell you, as a disciple, I can never stop making those discoveries. It is so important that I want to be good dirt. If I want to have the soil in my life where I can put down deep roots and have a lot of fruit in my life, I can never stop making discoveries about God. Who are you? God, would you reveal yourself more and more to me? I'll never stop learning about who he is. I'm never going to stop experiencing new facets and or new pictures and understanding of his love. Never going to stop understanding or discovering and understanding more about his beauty, about his strength, about his authority in my life, about his plan. And guess what? I'm in the word. I'm in reading the Bible regularly, and I'm like flipping pages and underlining and making notes and because I'm continually making discoveries, not only about who God is, but what he said for me. That's so important. It's so important, church family, that we are people who invest ourselves in the word of God. That he's given us his very word, what he has spoken to us for our lives. And it's one of the important ways that we cultivate and till the soil of our lives so that we don't become hard and crusty, that we don't allow rocks and weeds to develop in the soil of our life. But boy, by constantly discovering more about what he has said for us, It's like that soil is getting all churned up and is becoming so receptive to more and more of what he has for us. And I need to continually be going before the Lord saying, God, and I want you to shape me. Make me clearer and clearer about what I'm to do today to help fulfill this mission of loving and redeeming, this loving and redeeming work that you have. There, right there on that page, you see 1 Peter 1:23. What a great truth here. It says this, and it's talking to disciples, people who are making this discovery. And listen to how Peter says this. He says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed. See, there's that seed, right, that gets planted. Not a perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. Listen, if you got a crayon with you, underline where it says Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God is that seed that comes. In fact, Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the Romans and he said this. He said, faith, you don't come up with faith on your own. You don't like try to work up your own faith. You know what Paul wrote to the church in Rome? He said this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God, sometimes we just use the word gospel, because it is the Word of God about how Jesus came to redeem us, to save us, to save us from ourselves, and to save us from the works of hell that would come against us and against humanity. The gospel is the good news. It is the Word of God. So sometimes when we say the gospel, it's like a shortcut. It's like this little word that we use that says so much, right? The gospel, it is the Word of God that is for our salvation and for our lives. And we need to continue to allow these discoveries to happen where that seed can grow, because disciples discover. Colossians 1:6 says it this way. Got that? Colossians 1:6. The gospel, I love this, is doing what? Bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You know what? Moms and dads, I'm going to tell you, in probably all of our stories or many of our stories, there was times when we heard the gospel, we heard God's word, but we didn't really understand it. Guess what? That's like when the seed was like sitting on the hard path. That rock, that hard soil, it didn't penetrate. We didn't understand, right? We didn't understand it, and so that seed did not germinate. There was no life that was born in us. But guess what? Right here it tells us that we must hear it and understand it. That's when life is produced. That is when it says we're even born again and we're growing. Listen, hearing is one thing, but truly understanding, that's the discovery process. God, I want to continue to hear your word. God, I want to hear the gospel over and over again. But Lord, I need that to sink down so deep in my life that I would absolutely understand it and would forever be changed because of that. Because disciples discover. Everybody say, disciples discover. Here's the second thing that disciples do to make sure that there's got good soil in their lives. Number two is that disciples develop. Everybody say, develop. Disciples develop. They don't just discover. They don't just hear and understand, but then they actually develop. And you see there in that little picture, this is where that new little plant doesn't just have little roots now. It is actually beginning to put down deep roots. This is where it's becoming strong. Or as it says there on your page, it says that development has to do with maturing as a follower of Jesus to stand strong in challenging times. Church, God's word is really clear that we're going to face challenging times, even as believers. That when we give our lives to Christ, when we put our trust in Him, problems don't stop. Sometimes it even feels like, man, I must be under attack here. Because we've got all kinds of things that happen in our bodies and in our relationships and our stories, sometimes at work, in home, in our neighborhood, in our city. We're saying, man, this is really rough. I thought when I put my trust in Jesus that all my problems were going to be erased. That is not what God's word tells us, which is why we need to keep making discoveries about what God's word really says. He even says, we're going to even be persecuted for our faith. Wow. I don't know if I signed up for that. Guess what? Here's what we signed up for. Fruitful lives. Fruitful lives. And God is so gracious to us that on this plan of becoming fruitful, that He says, I am never going to leave you. I am never going to forsake you, which means I'm never going to turn my back on you. So guess what, guys? Even when we know that we're going to face challenging times, there's going to be struggles, God will never abandon us. And He's put us together in families, like a church family, so that we would never leave each other either. So when we face difficulties, when we face challenges, that we're there to support each other. The scripture that is here, Colossians 2, 6, and 7, is a verse that we've been looking at each week for the past several weeks. And it says this about development. It says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. See, that seed germinating is wonderful. We celebrate new life. Man, last week in service, there were several people at the end of service that said, I want to begin a new life in Christ. And we celebrate. It even says that the angels in heaven rejoice when one turns from death to life. We rejoice. And that's like that seed germinating. That is not where the plant's story ends. Right? Because we're called to be fruitful. We're called to put down deep roots. So it says that just as you accepted Christ Jesus, your Lord, you must continue. That is the story of development. It says, let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. We don't need little life Christians. We don't need leafy Christians. We need strong and fruitful Christians. That is the goal for each of our lives, but that is the process of discipleship. The process of discipleship. Disciples discover, disciples develop, and the third thing that all disciples do is the disciples deploy. They deploy. They get out there, and that's the picture of fruit on our lives. What does deploying mean? It means joining God on His mission to love people and to redeem a broken world. See, that's what the fruit in our life is meant for. That fruit is meant to be a resource, not only in our own lives, but to our family and to our neighbors, to the world around us, to our church family. And can I tell you, if you're in a little bit older generation, the fruit of your lives is to resource our kids. It's to resource the next generations. The fruit of our lives is not just for to be hoarded. It's not to be put in bins, right? And saved up for a rainy day for ourselves. It's to give away. It's to resource others. This is the image of that strong and fruitful tree doing what it was created to do. Bearing good fruit. Bearing much fruit. The seed of God's word is now being reproduced over and over. Isn't it amazing when you think about the power that's in that one seed, that potential? And when it is in good soil and that plant grows to that big tree where it literally puts down the deep roots. And then what happens? In that fruit is what? More seed. And it's not the seed that we come up with. It's the seed that was planted within us. It's the gospel that gets reproduced over and over, that we get to love people with, that we get to share with others, that their lives would be changed and healed. If we were to ask each person here that has put their trust in Jesus, how did that happen? I'm going to tell you, it happened because someone else was bearing fruit. So they either shared with you personally their story and what Jesus had done in their life, or maybe you read something. Maybe you read something that someone wrote who was the story of their life, and through their writing was this bearing of fruit. Maybe you were like in a gathering like this one where someone stood up and was sharing of what God had done in their life, or opened up the word of God and showed you about a path where you no longer have to be dead, you no longer have to be barren, but that God, through his grace, has created a pathway for your life to become amazing and fruitful. And now the story continues through disciples. Through disciples. In this scripture, Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made their hope, made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, with roots that do what? Reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. See, this is the goal of discipleship wrapped up in this one little image. These are not Christians with a little life, a short little life, where they're easily toppled over when challenges and storm or heat comes. And they're not just, they don't have just a leafy life where they've got green leaves but no fruit. No, this is someone who is now put down deep roots, not easily toppled, and has also become fruitful. That is the goal. Put up that last slide there, Manuel. This is how disciples grow. They discover who God is. They discover what he said. And they discover who they are in that story. God, who am I in you? But they don't stop there. They continue to develop. They grow strong through putting down deep roots, building their life on Christ. But they don't stop there. They also deploy. That fruit of their life is going onward, touching other people's lives and stories. They realize that this isn't just for me. This is for me to have this fruit that I'm able to give away to be a blessing and a resource for others. I want to tell you, the story of a disciple always begins with discovery. All the kids that are in the room this morning, the very first thing that as a pastor that I want for you, and I bet your moms and dads want for you too, is to discover who God is. They want you to discover who God is and that he sent his son, Jesus, to die for you. That's why we have this image of a cross right up here on our stage, on our platform, because it's that reminder of the great gift that God loved you so much. It says in John 3:16 that he loved you so much that he gave his only son. That if you put your hope and trust in him, it says you're never going to die, but you'll have eternal life with God. Now, these bodies are perishable. They all have an expiration date, right? But who you truly are, your soul is never going to die. And God's word tells us that when this earthly body dies and gets put into the grave, guess what? God gives us a new body, a heavenly body, one that will never perish, and that we get to have eternity with him. For that to happen, Jesus made it really clear that what we need to do is to put our trust in him. To say, Jesus, I don't want to try to figure out my life on my own. Jesus, I trust you with my life. If you loved me so much that you would go to the cross for me, God, then I totally, 100% put my trust in you. I put myself in your hands. God, would you forgive me for all that I've done that wasn't right? God, would you heal all the areas of my heart that are broken so that I can live strong for you? God, I want to be someone who puts down deep roots in you. And those that have put their trust in Jesus and are now growing as disciples, those are the kinds of prayers that we've prayed. And if you want to join me in that prayer right now, would you close your eyes? And I'm going to make it really easy. Would you, everybody out loud, whether this is the first time you may have prayed something like this or maybe it's the 1,000th time, would you repeat after me and make this all our prayer? Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you would go to the cross and die for me. Jesus, I put my trust in you. I don't hope on my own strength. Lord, I hope in your strength. God, would you save me now? Rescue me from all of my brokenness so that I can become fruitful for you. In Jesus' name, amen.